I desire your prayers this morning. I need the Lord real bad. This morning, we want to talk to you a little bit about trees. But before we do, we have a scripture in Haggai, the second chapter, verse 19. I will paraphrase part of that. And it starts out with a question, and it says, "Is the seed still in the barn?" That's quite a question, isn't it? Well, I believe that it has an answer. That verse goes on and says, "Would the yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree." These, I've added some of these words. It doesn't take away from the essence of this scripture. It says, "They have not brought forth yet." I've added that too. These are things that produce fruit naturally, useful, a benefit to man. And then the last part of the verse says, and I'm going to add this also just for us to have it in our mind, "But the desire of the Lord," I've added that, "that from this day will I bless you." This is a real passage of thoughts in this scripture because it really affects or addresses each one of us, how, where we are, if we're producing the fruit, or is the seed still in the barn, waiting to be planted, or the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree. You know, you can go to a nursery and you can find all different kinds of trees in pots. And that's just about as large as that tree will get. It has to be taken out of that pot. A proper size hole has to be dug in the ground. Generally, there's some amendment to the soil to help that tree become nourished and get a good start. In order for that tree to grow, it has to have a proper planting. Lauren and I had a desire to have a dogwood, a white dogwood, in our front yard. A dogwood takes special conditions in order to survive, especially Oklahoma. It has to be in a shade. But we knew that our soil in the spot where we were going to plant it was really clay-like soil. We finally found the tree, and so we began to prepare the hole for it to be planted. You know, we didn't necessarily put back in that hole, the soil that we dug out. We took enriched soil, other kinds of amendments to the soil, and we put all of that around the root system because once those roots begin to grow, they can penetrate the clay. They can grow, but they have to have a good start. So that's our starting point this morning. Seed is just waiting to be planted. The trees are just waiting to be planted. They really haven't started producing anything. They're still just in that little infant stage in a pot. Can't do anything with a tree that's still in a pot. The next scripture we want to give you is what the Lord thinks about trees. And it's from Isaiah 1 and 61, and I'm going to read part of verse 1 and part of verse 3. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I want to add a little definition here on this spirit of heaviness. I looked it up in a reference of my Bible. And that spirit of heaviness, it actually means a spirit of despair or faintness, to become faint. I think that we could maybe relate a little bit to those words more than to the spirit of heaviness. We might relate to the spirit of heaviness. But I think that we can understand despair. We can relate to that word, and also to the word of faintness. For the scripture speaks about you and me not being faint. Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. See? But anyway, the essence of this then, it goes on, for the reason I am anointed to preach this, these wonderful tidings. I'm going to give you beauty for ashes. You can't have beauty without my help. You've got ashes. In other words, you, the preaching of good tidings, when you mourn, you are not comforted unless I comfort you. The Lord comforts us. He is the God of all comfort. He will give the joy, the oil of joy for that mourning, and the garment of praise for that despair and faintness. That, now we know, have to know why he said all of those things. That you might be called the trees of righteousness. He's considering us this morning, human beings of the earth. He likens us to a tree. He also says next, the planting of the Lord. The planting of a tree, of your tree, of your life. It can't just be planted by anyone. It needs to be the planting of the Lord in His way. He knows just how to amend your soil, that it produce the most fruit, the best fruit. And then it says that He might be glorified. So we want to speak to you this morning about the glory of the Lord in our tree, glorifying God in our life. In the Word of God, both good and wicked men are spoken of or compared to as trees, but we want to focus on the trees of righteousness this morning, the planting of the Lord. In Psalms, the first chapter, verse 3, very familiar scripture. And it says, and he, or you, me, us, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It's quite a scripture, isn't it? Because the Lord gives us another one over in Jeremiah 17, verses 7, parts of 7 and 8. And it says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For if he trusts in the Lord, if he puts his hope in the Lord, this is what he will be like. He will be like the tree that is also planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The source of life for any plant is not only the nutrients of the soil in which it's planted, but without water, it will die. I heard a statement speaking of actually people, but I definitely believe that it applies to our plant world. We are either growing or dying. Now, if you compare that to a plant, in the years that we have little water, and Oklahoma has been somewhat of in a drought for a few years, we're still below our average. Generally, that is going to show up in our plants. If we have a winter where there is little moisture and very cold temperatures, you come spring and then you begin to see what effect that has on the plants. Some will survive, but they won't be as healthy looking. So water is a very vital part of trees having a good, healthy root system. There is also the trees of the earth that in order for them to even start to grow, they have to start from just a seed. Every tree that we see started from just some seed that either a bird carried or the wind carried, and it found its place in the soil, and after a period of time, maybe rain and the wind caused the soil to cover the seed, and pretty soon it begins to germinate, and it grows into what is called a seedling. Just a very small little plant. As a matter of fact, when I'm working in my flower beds, I don't want a tree to grow in my flower bed, but trees come up. And in order for me to keep a tree from becoming a tree, I keep that pulled up. So when this is in the beginning stages of developing into a magnificent, beautiful, strong tree, then I must cut it down when it's in its infant stage. But as if I should leave it, it would grow every year. It would be getting plenty of water in my flower bed, just like the trees that he spoke of here. It's planted where there is water to keep it growing. Trees have a way of telling their own history. In time, we have these trees out here. They're over 100 years old, some of these trees out here. And then we have trees in the redwood forest in California that are, I don't know how many hundreds of years old they are. Some of them have been cut down at a certain time. And a history is told about that tree. There is one ring for every year that tree, that's how they determine how old that tree is. I saw a little diagram of a tree that had been cut down, and it had 70 rings. So it said it was 70 years old. And some of those rings were farther apart than others, some more narrow. And there was a history being told about that by the observation. On the rings that were wider, it said that those were years that there was more moisture. on the ears, on the rings that were more narrow. It was at a time when it was more drought. But there was one point on that trunk that had sustained a great damage. And the one that was writing about it said that that's where it had suffered a fire. That tree had lived through a fire. And if you counted from the point of where the tree was damaged and yet survived it, it took 10 years for it to really get back to a full circle. It takes time, see. God has trees of righteousness, and he knows what he's wanting to do with each one of his trees. He has a plan for you, and he has a plan for me. And Jesus said, just as we said that the seed fell into the ground, he gave us an example like that also. In John 12:24, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn." I'm going to say except a seed. You see, we started out, we said, is the seed still in the barn? Are the trees still in the pots and not growing? And Jesus is saying here, unless the seed fall into the ground and die, it just abideth alone. That seed that is in the barn, never taken out and planted, is just seed. It has not produced anything of value. It has not given fruit to anyone. It's just there waiting to be planted. And then Jesus said that if it would die, if it would be planted, it would bring forth much fruit. Oh, don't you want to bring forth much fruit? Oh, we're valuable to the Lord. We're valuable to the saints. We're valuable to the church. We're valuable to our neighbors if we will allow our seed to be planted. Not left in the barn. Not just left there to rot. Then Jesus also said to his disciples, and I believe this is one of our key scriptures, but he said that except ye become as a little child. In another place he said, except ye humble yourself as a little child. You cannot be great. Well, you may not be wanting to be great, but our message last Sunday was on being a servant. And he said, last Sunday, he said, he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. We really can't serve one another until we have gone through the process of recognizing how insignificant we are without the Lord. Do you ever go before the Lord and say, Lord, I have no sufficiency of myself? Or do you in some way trust in your own intellect? Well, I've gone to college and I've studied this. I have a degree in that. And I have some talents. I have some God-given talents. Maybe you recognize the talents that God allowed you to be born with. Maybe it's some talents that's in your family. But it's really not of value until the Lord plants it. It has to be the planting of the Lord. It can't be me thinking I am something when I am nothing. I've told this before that being in the ministry, the one thing that the Lord keeps before me is how I really did not know how to talk before people. When I was in high school, I had two teachers, a husband and a wife, that taught me when I was in junior high. And by the time I went to high school, they were also had moved to the high school. And I suppose if you wanted to say it, I was sort of their pet. And Mr. Reinhardt taught me different subjects, but he was the debate coach. And he just knew I needed to be on the team. And the question was a political question, and I wasn't politically minded at all. But I said I would. So I made up my speech. I practiced it. I timed it. I had it memorized. And I go for my first debate. And I get up and I'm so nervous that I give my speech in half the time. And I stand there and I don't know what to do. And the judges are sitting over here looking at me. And I look at them and I just say, I'm sorry. And I sit down. Well, I didn't know you could do it in less the time. I thought it had to be exact. See, that was my only debate that I ever went to. And so the Lord brings it to my mind, without me, that's what you are. And that's what the Lord wants each one of us today to recognize. I'm nothing without Jesus. I'm nothing unless he plants my seed, unless he waters my seed, unless he cultivates my seed. Unless he makes something of me, I cannot make something of me. I cannot trust in myself. I cannot trust in my intellect. Even though it may be a God-given intellect, I must depend upon him. So therefore, you and I need to recognize I need to be just a seedling. I don't need to start out a full-grown tree. I need to let it grow just as God would want my life to grow. I need to be like a little child. I need to be humble like a little child in order to be anything in his kingdom. So a seedling is very small, but it's also very dependent. And it takes time to produce or to become whatever that purpose of my tree, the effects to produce that fruit. Before a tree can be a strong and a vigorous tree, and for it to be able to bear fruit, for a tree to be able to bear the storms. You know, we sometimes have storms come through, and certain storms can take a big tree down. But that tree had to be weakened in some way in order for the tree to be taken down by a storm. Because you see many other trees that aren't taken down by the storms. But in order for a tree to bear the storms and bear fruit and to be able to bear the droughts and to bear the years of much water, what has to be done? There must be a well-planted and a well-nourished root system. And that's why I planted that one tree with all of the amended soil, that it would have the right kind of start. God wants to do that in your life and my life. He wants to plant us in the best soil, that our root system have a good start. But once it's started, there are some trees that will have a tap root, a root that will go down. They say a pecan tree, that the taproot will be as deep in the earth as it is grown above the ground. So that can be a very strong tree. The root system is going out. It starts out with just hair-like roots that can penetrate hard soils, even rocky soils. God created the tree in order to grow in whatever place he has planted it. And so the tree has to have this healthy root system in order to be a strong, vigorous tree and to be able to produce the fruit. So in the spiritual life, we want to compare that also. Before you and I can really be enduring the hardness of life, enduring the winds and the storms of life, and yes, we have storms. In order for you and I to bear fruit in our life, we must also have a good, strong root system. And one of the ways that that is done spiritually is to have a very close and a secret walk with the Lord. And when I say secret, I don't believe that God wants us to hide our light under a bushel. Most definitely he does not. But there's a difference in not revealing our salvation or testimony to others and having a secret walk with the Lord. There was a man one time, story told, old story. This man was had gotten saved, and he seemed to be happy in his salvation. And then he was going to go and work in the mines, or up in the woods anyway, in a camp where there was just other men. And it was supposed to be a pretty rough place. And so somebody said to him, well, he went and worked there and he came back. And they said, well, how did you do in the camp? He said, well, I just never told them I was a Christian. See, that's the kind of secret we don't want to hold. But there is a secret place with the Lord. You getting alone in your closet. You taking the word of the Lord. You reading it and allowing it to grow in your life. It'll be developing those roots. Those spiritual roots will be going down. I'm saying that you and I will not be trees of righteousness without it. We've got to know the voice of the Lord. We've got to understand his will in our life. We've got to read his word and feed upon it. We've got to seek him and give him, tell him our heart's desire. I am trying to work with little JJ and instilling in him the thought that he can pray and pray to God and he will hear you. That's one of our little verses that we say in here. You know, we need to understand that I can go before the Lord and I can say whatever is in my heart, in my mind, tell him all of my troubles. I can give him all of my burdens. Oh, I want to tell you, this is part of my growth in the Lord. The development of my root system in living for the Lord is going to be found in me hungering and thirsting after righteousness and drinking at the fountain of pure living water and allowing him to work in me and allowing him to commune with me and teach me and guide me. All of these things are going to help develop me as a tree of righteousness. So the growth of a tree starting with a little seedling and developing into a big tree has had to pass through every stage. that is required to get to that size of tree. And we can then apply that to us as human beings of the earth. In order for you to be strong spiritually, you will have to be a babe to start out with. And I think we have scriptures that are going to confirm all of this. But just as our little babes that are born now, we don't expect them to take care of themselves. We don't expect them to get up and clean house. We don't expect little babies to do anything but to trust and to allow the mother or the parents to feed them and take care of them. And as they grow, they begin to be taught. Well, you don't teach that baby a big verse the first time it goes to Sunday school. Paul and Lorinda are teaching a simple verse to JJ that it'll stick in his heart, but he can learn it, see, for his age. So it's the same as with us as we grow from one stage of our life to the next. We become a toddler, we become an adolescent, we become a young adult and middle-aged and mature adult. And I want to say maturity does not have to wait until you're 70. It should not. There should be a place of your spiritual maturity as a result of your secret walk with the Lord. When the disciples were there being questioned by the religious Jews in the temple, one of them said they took note that they had been with Jesus. And that's what will have to be in your life and mine. People will have to see the result. The end result of my secret walk with him is going to be apparent. It will come out in my testimonies. It will come out in the grace that God gives me to bear things that are hard. It will come out in front of my family. It will come out at the store. Maybe somebody might say, what is the hope that you have in you? The Lord wants you and me to have an answer. When someone asks, where do you go to church? Why do you dress like that? Why? Where? And then you've got an answer for the hope. Oh, Lord, help us to find those answers in our secret walk with the Lord. So we do not want to overgrow. We don't want to get saved and feel like we've got to be like somebody that saved 50 years. If you will grow in the Lord, if you will allow him to teach you and enlighten you and instruct you, you will grow into every stage. You will become that tree of righteousness, and you will have a ring added for every year in the history of your life. Thank the Lord. Now I would like to give you some scriptures before we close concerning children. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter and verse 11. It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. Now, probably every one of us that are here today that can look back at the beginning of our walk with the Lord can say, oh, I was but a child. We must see ourselves in that way. We mustn't think that we are so strong and so intelligent in walking with the Lord. It would cause, if we did that, It would cause us to be judgmental. It would cause us to be condemning. But if we will take and allow the Lord to help us as little children in Him, we'll have, we'll speak like a little child. Our testimonies will be like a little child. I've observed the young people here when they were young, when they were children. It's good for children to learn to testify, to be thankful, and to express it. It's not the same as when they got older and then they began to get a hold of the word of the Lord and they began to have experiences that may be the first little testimonies because they were speaking as a little child. I thank the Lord that I am saved and sit down. That's good. Well, little children understand just so much. But God's teaching them. And as they grow in the things of God, then they understand more. Now the scripture says, for you and me, no matter how old we are, to walk in the light as He is in the light, lest darkness or misunderstanding or a lack of understanding or my mind be clouded, I walk in the light as He begins to unfold things to me. So a child is going to think a certain way. But the scripture here says, but when I became mature or a man, I put away childish things. I didn't stay in the child state, in other words. I allowed myself to grow in the things of God. So I didn't stay in that childish state. Another scripture is in 1 Peter 2:2. And it says, as newborn babes. Okay, here we are at the beginning of the stage of life. My tree is just a seedling, maybe a sapling. It still hasn't developed a thick bark around it. But as newborn babes, desire. It's newborn babes, comma. This is what you desire now. The sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If you are not reading your Bible, if you're not getting the word of the Lord down in your heart and in your mind, you're not going to grow. You need the word of the Lord. And the scripture tells us that we're to hide His words in our heart, that we may not sin against God. The power of His word is going to work in our life when we apply it in our life. That's why we take these little children and we begin to teach them verses and we try to get them to memorize them. It's so important that they have it down in their heart. Now, there is no stopping place. Does a tree stop growing? Literally, a tree does not stop growing unless it dies or is cut down. So as long as I live, I need the word of the Lord. I need the pure water of His word. I need it applied to my life. I need to still be eating of His word as long as I live. Because my tree is ever getting larger. It's applying more rings in the trunk. It's got a history. Have you passed through some dry times, some drought, spiritual drought? You know, there are times that we are allowed of God to go through dry times. Sometimes we might even say, I just feel so empty. But you know, there is a reason God puts us in those places and allows us to be tested. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to give up and die? Your tree just going to die now? Trees have survived a lot of drought. And they went on to become great trees. Well, there is a reason that I need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. If that wasn't in the word of the Lord, what would we do? If the children of Israel that came to the Red Sea and didn't see a way out, if Moses said, well, I'm sorry, but this is as far as we can go. I've led you as far as we can go, but he didn't. God spoke to him and said, tell the children to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, when you come to a dry time and expect it, yes, it's part of our walk with the Lord. It's our test. Are you going to die? Are you going back to Egypt? Or are you going to wait on the Lord? There is many places where he says, wait on the Lord, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We don't turn and run. We wait for the dry times that come. The next scripture that I have is Hebrews, the 5th chapter. And I'm going to read verses 13 and 14. And it says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. It's not saying that you cannot use the word. It's that you're not as skilled yet. For a babe to simply take the word of the Lord and allow it to grow in their understanding, they'll have to wait. They'll have to stand still. They'll have to allow the Lord to open up the way for the next phase. But it says, verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. That doesn't mean you wait till you're 70 or 50 or whatever age you might think is a full age. When you come to the age of accountability, you're beginning to come to a full age. When you reach that place where you have understanding of giving your heart, your life, your all, seeking for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and you don't have to be 20 years old for that. There's any point between that age of accountability and the understanding of needing the Holy Spirit in your life, being filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, that's your full age. And you can start taking on some meat. You've got some spiritual teeth. And chewing that meat and digesting that in your life is going to make your tree stronger. It's going to cause it to grow and be healthy. The root system will be healthy. The trunk will be healthy. The leaves will not know when drought comes. It's found that place of watering. So strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, you've got to use these things. You have your senses or exercised. These kind of things are going to exercise you to spiritual growth, see, to discern both good and evil. There has to come a point in your spiritual walk to have discernment of what is right and what is wrong. By the Holy Spirit, you're going to need the Holy Spirit in your life. Then another scripture is in 1 Corinthians 14 and 20. And we just have a few of these to add in here about children and growing. Verse 20. It says, brethren, don't be children in understanding. Recognize I need to get past this child stage. grow. Let it be your goal to grow up in him. Howbeit in malice be children. There's something here, you know. Children, they don't hold grudges normally like older people do. Don't do that. He's saying don't do that. But in understanding, be men. Be mature. Grow up. There's a scripture that also says, quit you like men. Be strong. That's for all of us. Find those places in your life and say, Lord, make me strong in the power of your might. And then the last verse is Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And we're going to look at 14 and 15. This is just a few of the verses that has to do with our spiritual maturity. The fourth chapter and 14 and 15. And it says, henceforth, from now on, be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You know, a child that is immature can be influenced very easily. But one that is established, has become a man, is not easily influenced to wrong. And it says, don't be like a child that's tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And then verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, what does it say? Grow up in him in all things. That should be our goal. I want to grow in the Lord. I don't want to stay where I am. I want to ever be growing. I want to ever be digging. I want to ever be submissive. I want him to call me a tree of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. Yes. I want to go back to the first verse that we started with, which had to do with the seed still being in the barn. Is the seed still in the barn? Is your seed laying dormant? Is it just being hid away? And it said, yea, as yet the vine or the fig tree or the pomegranate or the olive tree, these that could bring forth, are they laying dormant? Only God is the one that can plant those things and it be fruitful. This is the little thought I want to leave with you, though. It said, but the desire of the Lord, and that's my words, is that from this day I will bless you. If we will allow him, we can be trees of righteousness. We can produce the kind of fruit that he's desiring in this life to be a blessing to our families, to the church, to our where we work on the job, where we're going to school, whatever we're doing. He wants you and me to be a blessing. And he wants to bless us. But he has to plant us. And he has to water us. And he has to cultivate us in order for us to grow into that strong tree. Thank the Lord. Pray for me.